Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Bob Peoples, the Executive Director with CARE, the Carpet America Recovery Effort. Bob, how you doing?
Well, good morning, Kemp. I'm doing great, and good to be with you as always.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you. We haven't talked in a while, and we need to catch up with what's going on in the area that you're focused on, which is trying to find things to do with spent carpet to keep them out of the landfill. Everybody knows with the price of oil down around $40 a barrel, that changes the whole economic equation around the value of recycled polymer, because if you can get virgin polymer for less than it takes to process carpet into reusable polymer, then people don't want to use it anymore. So that means that the collectors and sorters that are out there who've invested money and have assets deployed in the business of putting recycled carpet somewhere could be struggling. Tell me what's going on with that.
I think you spelled that out pretty well. Mm-hmm. The price of oil has plummeted from well over $100 a barrel a year and a half ago, got as low as about $28 a barrel, popped up yesterday to $40 a barrel, and whether it stays there or not, we don't know. But you know, we need oil up at 70 or 80 bucks a barrel for people to really be able to make decent profit in the recycling world here. So it's tough right now. I've on the phone regularly during the week with folks that are struggling with, you know, can they keep their business open? And I just had one of those conversations again a few days ago.
These collector sorters, how are they maintaining their business?
Well, they're going negative right now.
Yeah.
They're putting stuff into inventory. They're filling their warehouses to the rafters. And, you know, they're wondering, where's the end of this journey? And right now, it's going to be a protracted problem that we face until oil gets way back up there again. I guess I would tell you that we've had five or so collector sorters, recyclers go out of business since July of last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple more go out before all this is over. When you have people that have been in business for a number of years, they're now questioning whether they continue. Makes you realize just how deep this trough is right now.
Mm-hmm. So tell us what five is in the whole pool of, I mean, is five out of 100 or?
Good question. We have about 64 or so collector sorter entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. These are people, some of which will also process, that are registered as part of the CARE program. And so we've seen, you know, probably close to 10% have already had to throw in the towel for one reason or another. And we probably have another half a dozen or more that are struggling right now trying to decide whether they keep the doors open or not. It's interesting, a year and a half ago, nobody would have talked about any problem moving nylon. And today, nylon and nylon 6 in particular is the hardest material to move in the marketplace, and we're starting to see traction for PET, certainly polypropylene. Polypropylene is probably the only polymer that we deal with that's got some decent pricing and increases going on because of tight supply in the global marketplace, but we don't have that luxury in some of the other polymers right now.
Now, we know that plant that Shaw was running in Augusta is no longer running, so that's one of the issues with nylon, isn't it?
Yeah, that is one of the issues. It was one of the places where there was a good demand for nylon 6. And, mm-hmm. you know, I got to give Shaw a lot of credit. They worked very hard to keep that plant running, you know, when oil was down well below break-even points, and invested new technology and money in a new plant that they're trying to get up and running right now.
Right.
And worked hard to keep the collection infrastructure stable. You know, we've also seen that really shutdown of the Chinese markets by both a slowdown in their economy and their tightening of the green fence. That's the program where they really restricted what can come into the country. You can't just send a container of trash in there mm-hmm. anymore from Europe or the U.S. They really tightened up on that.
I know that the Carpet and Rug Institute has pulled together around $4 million in a voluntary fund, and so that's helping this year, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I think that between that program last year and continuation of that program this year, I think every collector sorter in the U.S. would tell you they're very grateful for the program. It's making a difference. We probably would have lost a lot more people at this point in time if it wasn't for that program. So we got to give the industry a lot of credit for trying to step up and help resolve the issue. But more importantly, that's just a temporary fix, and we need to be looking at ways to find market outlets for this material. So given the challenges we're facing, the board of directors just approved a brand new task group for CARE, which is kind of a extension of the original PET task group, which was working on finding outlets for PET. Mm-hmm. The new task group is focused on finding outlets for all carpet components. And we've even enrolled Glenn Odom, who's a retired Wellman executive and former member of the board, to lead this group. And I'll tell you, we picked the right guys because Glenn really is after it. We're working on developing right now a matrix of all of the possible products and outlets, technology platforms for post-consumer carpet, trying to evaluate them against things like what's the probability of success? What's the magnitude of impact? Is it, can it absorb 1 million pounds a year or 100 million pounds a year? What's the timing to get it into the marketplace? What do the economics look like? Our goal is to have that matrix worked through so that we can present it to the board of directors at our meeting on May 17th in Greenville, South Carolina, and see if we can agree on a path forward to try to maybe put some more effort and focus on a couple high probability outlets that we can help accelerate.
Yeah, let me draw attention to that. That's one of the things I wanted to cover. You do have your annual meeting. It's in Greenville this year. One of the dates?
The meeting itself is May 18th and 19th in Greenville, South Carolina at the Hyatt. You can go online at www.carpetrecovery.org to register for the conference, reserve your room, and get the conference agenda information.
Okay. I just definitely wanted to point that out. So let's cover AB 2398. If you can't do it through an economic process, there's always this extended producer responsibility fee situation, and certainly that's not the best way to take care of these kind of things. But so AB 2398 is a California law. It's been approved now for over 4 years, and it was announced that they're taking that to 20 cents a yard in the fee, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The law was passed in 2010, and the law went into effect July of 2011. Mm-hmm. So we're coming up on 5 full years of this program. You know, we started at a nickel a square yard when the program started. On April 1st of last year, we took that to 10 cents per square yard. And with the changes in the subsidy programs and the fact that we've launched new grant programs to try to advance carpet recycling, we are taking that fee to 20 cents a square yard effective April 1st of this year. So we sell in round figures 100 million square yards of carpet in California a year. So that means we'll have about a $20 million pool of funds to pay out to the subsidy recipients, the people that collect, sort, process, and manufacture products out of post-consumer carpet. Since we've increased subsidies back in the third quarter of 2015, we've seen pretty substantial progress in moving pounds of PET in particular, and a lot of work starting to take place with calcium carbonate.
Now, those funds that you get from 2398, they can only be used for recycler sorters in California, right?
Not quite. Those funds can go to anyone that qualifies inside or outside California. The restriction is you must be using California-derived post-consumer carpet.
I see.
So we do, with the subsidies as high as they are right now, we do have some folks on the East Coast that are shipping material out of California back to the East Coast for processing, and they do qualify. Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you, California would like to see us build capacity in the state. We are focused on doing that, and I mentioned the new grant program. We have three legs of a grant program now. Two of them are already in progress. The first is making grant funds available to build new capacity or expand existing capacity. The second is to do product testing and development to get this stuff in new products so we can move into the marketplace. Those two grants are underway right now. The third leg is a grant process we'll launch probably later this spring or early summer for procurement, where we're going to make funds available to municipalities in the state of California to help them buy new products containing post-consumer carpet so they can get over the hurdle of, you know, first use, demonstrate applicability, and accept these products for their application. We just approved recently almost $2.5 million in grants for those first two categories, and 88% of those funds will be deployed in the state of California. So we're really focusing on building capacity there.
Okay. We are running out of time. I appreciate you giving us an update on what you've been focused on. Again, been talking to Dr. Bob Peoples, the Executive Director for CARE, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaDaily.net.